We're speaking about the conflict between the animal soul and the godly soul. We're explaining death, that both of them are souls. In other words, there's a full range of your personality there. It's not just, I got a yetzer, a desire pushing me this way, and a yetzer pushing me that way, a desire pushing me the other way. No, there's a whole way of thinking and a way of feeling. And they work in opposite directions. The godly soul begins in the mind and then works in the heart. While the animal soul begins in the heart, begins in the basic desires, and then begins to affect the mind. Okay. So we're in the middle of explaining let's start, it's about seven lines down, we're starting to speak about the godly soul, just to sort of like give you a, what is this whole chapter? It says the godly soul has this desire, and explains a page and a half what the godly soul so wants. He says, Nefesh Bahamis, the animal soul, has a totally opposite desire. Half a line. Siddham always say, why does he do that way? Why does he explain the godly soul at length and the animal soul in just half a line?
We're much more familiar
with the animal soul. We know what he wants. You don't have to explain too much. But the godly soul, you have to explain. So let's see how he does it. But the place for the dwelling of the godly soul is in the intellect and the mind. As we said before, the intellect has this ability of objectivity to look not what I want, but what is.
What makes sense.
But having what makes sense.
Yeah.
What is. What makes sense is what makes sense to me. What is. Intellect perceives reality. This is what's true. The whole idea of mind is to be objective to what is.
But there's some people who like come to the wrong conclusion. They're like, who?
That's not true intellect. That's why, you know, when you say what it means to me, because that's already me putting into it.
Right.
Is subjectivity. True intellect rises above subjectivity entirely. And as such, it's a place where the godly soul can dwell. Rishon Peshes of the Kol Ha'Dvarim, and from the mind it spreads out to all the limbs, the Gam Belev, and it also reaches the heart, the Chal Ha'Yamini, in the right ventricle, She'ein Bodom, where there is no blood. I mean, there obviously is blood, it just isn't as much. The right ventricle is smaller than the left. Commercial course of wave, the heart of the wise man is on his right side. So what happens then? The avas Hashem kirish be'eish shalheves misal heves b'leiv maskirim hamevinim nisbonim b'daitim shemokhim dreim morim sa'avot. This is what happens in the heart. The love of God, like burning flames, which are flickering in the hearts of the thinkers who understand and contemplate with their knowledge in their minds matters which arouse love for God. In other words, a person thinks, is there, you saw the Torah?
It's a big book.
It's one of the small ones, but...
Mm-hmm.
coming up with new ones. Just sort of final proofs. So,
are they going to release them all at once?
There'll be a 16 volume set.
16? Uh-huh.
And what price?
We'll get there. Okay. if people are interested in getting these volumes, which is an advantage, the problem is there'll be a fire sale on them because, you know, they want to get rid of them because they don't have the big ones. So, you know, if there are people who are interested, so they should get in contact with me, I'll see what I can do with it. They just don't like to be bothered unless there's, you know, they're serious talkers. If somebody's interested, the eighth, what does Rambam say? What is the path to attain love and fear in him? The person contemplates his wondrous and great deeds and creations and appreciates his infinite wisdom that surpasses all comparison. He will immediately love and praise and glorify him, yearning with tremendous desire to know God's name. As David states, my soul thirsts for the Lord, for the living God. And continues to reflect on these matters. He will immediately recoil in awe and fear, appreciating how he's a tiny and flint, lowly and dark creature standing as a flint with his flimsy, limited wisdom, where he is of perfect knowledge. In other words, Rambam, the Alter Rebbe, share the basic idea: how are you going to come to emotion? By meditating, by thinking. Especially spiritual emotions. Like you said, occasionally you wake up in the morning and it's, wow, it's a godly world. Those times you don't need a book. Whenever they come, you ride away. But they don't. You can't count on that happening. You can't make that happen. How can you bring yourself to emotion? And a person contemplates his wondrous and great deeds. Think. Use your mind. A person has his mind, is always in control of his mind. That's the foundation of the Alter Rebbe. Whenever you want, your mind is in your hands. You can control it. Because it's hard. But it's possible. And when a person meditates and contemplates things which arouse his love, he's going to be overcome with the love of God. His heart will be burning. And the Rebbe would say, the mitzvah of Avas Hashem, of loving God, if your heart doesn't beat a little bit faster, you haven't done the mitzvah. Just like, you know, each of us in like, yeah, well, you know what love is, the point where your heart beats a little faster, yeah? If your love of God isn't that way, it's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to love God. And to do that, you really got to put your mind to it. And similarly, the gladness of heart, kefaras Hashem, and the glory of God, and the splendor of his perfection, when the eyes of the wise man which are in his mind, his head, the muscle in the mind of his wisdom, the muscle, and his understanding, the stafimikar, the malka, look at the glory of the king. And the beauty of his greatness, which is unlimited, the Ein Sof, and unbound, the Tachlis, without any limit. Rumakomach has explained in another place. I want to go into the whole thing, but what's beauty? You know, you sense something bigger than you, and you're overcome by it. And that's a tremendously satisfying feeling. It's just, it feels good. when a person meditates and contemplates godliness, he can and he should have that feeling of, there's something there. It's just wonders of it. It's like, you're much better than Rembrandt. I mean, if you stand in front of a great piece of art, you're humbled, and you're, you know, like, it's a good kind of, you know, you're humbled and uplifted at the same time. You know, you're humbled in that you see your own smallness. You're uplifted because it pulls out the highest common denominator in you. You understand it. You identify with it, and you're uplifted. When you look at Ein Sire Kol Elokeinu, there's no artist like our God. The glory and the wondrousness of his work of creation. Wow. Real wow. And that's what he's saying here. And this is love and beauty, which is connected with Simcha. And all the other attributes, the emotional attributes in holiness, are outgrowths of one's intellect. It's written, one nation will struggle against the other. I mean, it's speaking about Yaakov and Esav, but not only Yaakov and Esav historically, but Yaakov and Esav as the Jewish people and non-Jewish people. And most clearly, Yaakov and Esav as the Jew and the non-Jew in me. Tell us about Shmuel Malkus. Shmuel Malkus heard about the Alter Rebbe coming to him for the first time. He came to Lade. It's the middle of the night in Russia. Cold. There's no lights on except one house. He knocks on the door. You know, he's cold, and Shmuel was a hefty guy. Who's there? Let me in! Who's there? It's cold here, just let me in! And back and forth, who's there? So, if you don't identify yourself, I'll call my Shabbos, I'll call my Goy. My Goy is bigger than your Goy. that was the start of that was the start of the first Yechidus. Shmuel Malkus. He was a special character. But again, the battle between Yaakov and Esav is the Yaakov and Esav inside of us. Yaguf nikra ir ktana. The body is called a small city. I don't remember where in Mishnah in the Book of Proverbs it says that, but it's there. It's there in Proverbs. So yeah, it's one of the things which I keep wanting to do. It's an amazing book, Proverbs. If you have to really study it right, and not get around to it. Should be done. But it's commotion in Malachim Nechem Akas, just like two kings are fighting for one city. That each one of them wants to conquer it, to rule over it, to have its inhabitants led according to his will. And they will follow his orders and everything he commands them. So to the two souls, the godly soul and the vital soul, the animal soul from Klipa, fight with each other, alaguf, over the body, and all of its limbs, steps of the soul, and she had the godly soul, its desire is that all of the limbs should be listening, should listen to its orders, but tailing it, I skipped a line. See, he will bother Michelle, so love when he goes. It alone should be the one who rules over it and leads it. And all the body's limbs will follow its orders, betayim etzel legamrei, and subsume to it entirely. Again, remember our touch of batel. Become part of the greater whole. So the godly soul wants the body to feel it is the greater, that the godly soul is the greater whole that's becoming part of. And therefore, mekovei lehon, there'll be a chariot for it, be a levush lesa b'chinasela, and it'll be a garment for its ten, for its ten attributes, given levushel, and its three garments are now shishlap shkulim be'ev rebu. They will all enclose themselves in the limbs of the body, and the body entirely will be full with them alone. In other words, the animal soul will not enter, will not pass through it at all. What does that mean? Manaklat, mochin, shabarosh, three intellectual powers in the mind, yamun, chabad, and nefesh, will be filled with the chabad, the wisdom, understanding, and knowledge of the godly soul. Shichach, masashem, being also. This is the wisdom of God and his understanding this morning. Look at Nusso to meditate on his greatness, Asher and Chaykel, which is of main soul, which is unlimited and unbounded, the holy mehem, to give birth from it, Aideya Das, through the meeting of Das, Hayir B'mocho, or in one's mind, Pachad Hashem B'libo, in the fear of God in one's heart, the Avas Hashem, Bora B'libo Kirish Be'eish, Shal Heves, and the love of God burning like fire in his heart, that it should be yearning, and the soul expiring in desire, and in yearning to cling to godliness in his infinity, the whole lay of nefesh ma'od, with all one's heart, soul, and might, from the depths of the heart, that it should. Here he's got three levels here. Tochel Rasuf Ava means it'll be paved with love. That's the natural level. The natural. Every Jew has an inner love for God implanted in his heart. That's just who he is. As he says, Rasuf means to put a pavement on in Hebrew it's the Ritzpah. And the last safe in this farm means you put the panels on the floor. So Tocha Rasuf Ava, the soul has the heart has this paved with love, inner fundamental foundation base of love for God. But that's not burning yet. Then it will go further. Moly, the gadush will be full. Part will that will then full. The gadush then overflowing. Ad shetishpashet gamachale smoly will also spread to the left ventricle. The skafia sitra achra subdue the atom. The sitra achra yisod and mayim aroyim, the foundation of the bad waters. In other words, we said mayim aroyim. This is the desire for pleasure that comes from the animal soul, for physical pleasure. So when you have burning love for God, that's going to subdue that desire for physical pleasure. Yeah, I should put it. There's a point where, hey, this is better than beer. You know, everybody will know what I'm talking about. In one way or another, you know, on one plane or another. This is better than beer. So, the godly soul is, hey, this is really better than beer. And, yeah. Let's take it outside for a second. This is the point that the Altareb is going to mention right now. How does the godly soul affect and transform the animal soul? Through powerful love and pleasure. this is a very important thing. Now, in other contexts, I speak of Jewish highs. And very simply, if you want a chance. What do most people looking for in the world? Feel good. I feel good. And if Torah and Yiddishkeit doesn't give you that, you're gonna find something. You're gonna look for something else. And ultimately, you're gonna find it. May not be real. It may not be real, but you're gonna find it. You're gonna look for it. That's why it's so important to take this stuff seriously. Because, see, one of the things with the Alphabet is a very honest person. He doesn't lie and bluff through. It would be nice if he did. It would be a little bit easier. But it doesn't. And he wants you. So if this is going to be real for you, then what's going to transform your animal soul from desiring physical things, from, like I said, that your heart should beat faster for the love of God. I'm not exaggerating, but I'm exaggerating. And I don't really expect that to happen. That to happen in my area, that we're all gonna, really have hearts beat faster to a great degree. But yeah. It should be a powerful experience, something that gives us satisfaction, energy, and vitality. Otherwise, it's not going to be lasting. And if it is, then it's going to be better than beer. It's going to be where you... Why is a person going to stay with it? Because he has the energy and vitality, the satisfaction which it generates. I mean, here the Alter Rebbe is speaking in very ruchnistic terms, and I'm speaking in Pashut and Gashmistic, American terms. But the fundamental idea is the same. You want to transform the animal soul. You want to make Torah something lasting inside of you. Then you've got to labor to the point where, hey, it's starting to make an impression, and it's real for me, and I feel something from it. Just going through the motions, putting on film down, people in kindergarten, must feel real good. That's kindergarten. In the long run, it's not going to work. Once, you can only stay in kindergarten so long. And as we grow older, as our life becomes more involved, that's not going to work. What will work is the depth of experience where a person feels and is involved. And his life is meaningful, and he has genuine satisfaction from the story. So that's what he's saying. that when his love for God spreads out through the left ventricle, it will subdue the sitra achra, which is the source for the evil water, desire for pleasure. Shitaivas Akripas Noga, which is the desire for Akripas Noga, Lashanosa, the Hapka Mitanugelun Haza, the Avas Hashem, the Chol Babecha, the Shnei Yitzurecha, to transform it from seeking for pleasures of this world to the love of God. And he says, you love God with both your hearts, all your hearts, with both your hearts. In other words, it's not just, it doesn't say b'chol libcho. It says b'chol libavecha. Why does it have two bases there? So say just say b'shnei yitzarecha. That the Yetzirah should also love God. What do we mean then? What does Yetzirah really want? No! Well, the animal, we'll call it the animal soul, and even the Yetzer Hara, really, what does it really want? Feel good. Have a good time. When the Yetzer Hara, or the animal soul, realizes that, hey, davening is the greatest time I could possibly have. Hey, there's an expression I used to be said in Lubavitch. I don't like it for a certain reason, but it's valuable here. It's just, they used to say, if the Balei Taiva, the people who are into their desires, would know what a great Taiva davening is, they'd daven all day. Again, I think that's a wrong approach to davening. Davening should be service, avodah. You know, but that's also true. And there can be that sense. And that's loving God. And it's when your Torah experience feels good. Feels good. Then it becomes with both your hearts. Hanu shiyala yovel madregas abba rabba v'chiv v'yisera madregas abba azak rish v'esh. Again, here the author is speaking in very spiritual terms, but what he's trying to say in that, again, you know, ultimately you have to reach that level. On the other hand, on a practical thing, you know, it means special. It should be real and exciting and satisfying for you. You know something?
Can you clarify? Is this an experiential love or an intellectual love?
It starts in the brain, ends in the heart. That's what we said here. In other words, as we said, what do we say in chapter 3? Spiritual emotion comes from on the basis of intellect. That was all of chapter 3.
The preface of all this feel-goodness and deep contemplation.
That's the only way your emotions are really going to work. I mean, let's face it. Like I said before, there are times when you wake up in the morning and it's God's world and everything's great. But you're not in control of that. You can't make that happen. Yeah, I mean, you can set the scene. You know, that's mikveh, kedusha v'tahara, makshavah, and everything else helps. But you can't make that happen. What can you make happen? Intellectual. You can. Your mind is in your hands. You're in control of your thoughts. And when a person works on his intellect, the point where it's real for him, his emotions will follow. That's the foundation of the Rebbe Shuk.
Why are so many awesome titles require so little intellectual passion?
Because they're titles. As we said, the animal soul starts in the heart and works in the mind. It's basically, the animal soul is basically, I want. It's embedded in our bodies. And, you know, you don't need too much intellect to think about your physical desires. That comes, you know, just comes. You, but something spiritual, you need a little bit, more. So, the person will reach Yahweh, be above Madregas Abba Rabba, Kribi Seir, Madregas Abba Azabush, the Ace, he'll come to the level of great love and deep cherishedness, from the level of fierce love, like tongues of burning fire. Hanikris, because of Avi B'Tanudim, which is called in the Bible, the love of pleasures. This Anega Hashem Menu Haba, to take pleasure in God, like the world to come, in a microcosm of the world to come. In other words, what is the world to come? That you'll appreciate godliness. So that if every person can have, at least in microcosm, a sense of that pleasure. The pleasure is felt in the mind. of wisdom and intellect. Which takes pleasure in the conceptualization of God and knowing Him according to the ability and the grasp of one's mind and wisdom. And this is the level of water, which is the seed of light, which is sown in the holiness of the godly soul. Mephephis was told, which transforms into good, which the aspect of water of Nefesh Bahamas, he said, what is the water of Nefesh Bahamas? From the water of the animal soul comes the desire for things of this world at the outset. And as it's written there in Etzfayim Shanun Perakimel in the name of the Zohar, because then the evil becomes transformed into ultimate good. Just like the God is the Yetzer Tov, but so as the good in so many manner, removing the filthy garments from it, the desires of this world which is enclosed in. The same shark called Midas Balei, but similarly, the remainder of the emotional attributes in the heart. Anfei Hayira La'ava, they are branches of fear and love. Yel Hashem Levado, they'll be totally dedicated to God. Kain Koch Adiba Shebetem. Similar to the power of speech in one's mouth and the power of thought in one's mind, they'll be filled with the garments of thought and speech of the godly soul alone, the thought of God and his Torah. This will be his speech throughout the entire day. His mouth will not cease from studying. He calls him Meister to be a diamond, power of deed in his hands, the Shara Machav word, and his other 248 limbs. Yeah, Meister Mitzvah Chabad will be only in the deed of Mitzvah. Shulamush Hashlich Mitzvah, which this is the third garment of the godly soul. That's what the godly soul wants. Ach Nefesh and Hamish, the people of the son of the Hetech Mamish. But the animal soul, its desire is the opposite entirely. And again, we don't have to explain too much of that. We all know what the animal desire wants. But this is the tovus adam. This is for man's benefit. She's gabo leo. That why does the animal soul have the desire? So you would overcome it. And you should be victorious of it. Commercial zona should be zora kodesh. As the example of the prostitute in the Zohar. What does the Zohar say? The king has a son. And he's trained his son, educated him, gave him the best, as any father would for his kid. And I want to say, well, look, it's been a couple of years now. Has intellectually decided, where is his emotions, where is his virtue? So how is it possible? It's got to do what she's hired to do. No, but let's think about it for a second. What does the king want? No question, the king wants it. What does even the prostitute want? Hey, she's going to try to earn her pay. I mean, otherwise, she won't get the job again. But what does she really want?
Why does she, I always hear that, but I never understand why she really wants him to fail. Like, I always hear people explain to much like, oh, why would she want him to fail, you know?
Because she wants. She's a subject of the king.
She wants to be
happy. She's a subject of the king.
So.
She wants the king to be happy. Yes or no? I mean,
the king is paying her, so obviously, if you're a boss, you want to make your boss happy, so you will.
No, be beyond that. That's a very that's putting it in a very gross thing.
I'm not understanding the muscle function.
No, but it's beyond that. It's beyond that he's paying her. She's the king's subject. A subject really cares for the king. Should be, anyway. So she would want the king to be happy. And she knows what's going to make the king happy. That the son doesn't listen to her.
I don't know, prostitutes were the most loyal subjects of kings.
Well. pass on that one. I didn't have too much familiarity. But, you know. Yeah, seriously. But the Yetzirah, I know. And the Yetzirah wants to do what God wants. And that's so. You know, so again, he's bringing it. What is he bringing it out for? What does he need? What does he need that last line?
Tell you the Yetzirah is not a bad guy. Say that even the Yetzirah wants you to win.
None of that. So in other words, it's not really a challenge. If even the Yetzirah wants you to win, then it's all in your hands. I mean, it's not something like how can I do it? It's the Yetzirah. It's so strong. It just beats me all the time. It does. Plenty of times I lose.
He's not even trying to win.
Well, he's trying it. He's going to try. But he doesn't want to win, really. So you can be.
I have the same muscle, but you write that this person says another one, and this person says another one. Like, of course, the animals are your source, it's completely bottled to Hashem, but once it's sold in his body, you're ready, that the original intention is a little bit lost.
Again, we spoke about that. That we make the Yetzirah bad. But the point the author is saying is, in other words, is that when you know the whole thing is structured for you to win, it's much easier to win. You still got to work at it. There's no question about it. But the point in telling you is like, hey, it's all structured for you to win. So go for it. Nothing, you know, like, there's no reason why you shouldn't. Okay, so here we have the struggle, the battle between the Yetzirah and the Yetzirah, and the means to be victorious in the battle. Chapter 10 is going to be the tzaddik who succeeds. Chapter 11 is the rasha who fails. And chapter 12 is the beinoni who's in the middle of the struggle. And the book is Sefer Shel Beinoni. That's why most of the emphasis is not on the tzaddik or on the rasha. We'll explain a little bit why they're there. But they're not the main story here. The story is the beinoni.